your Walmart workers. It's straight up 11 o'clock. This is WEFT, Champaign-Urbana and Environs, where you opinions you hear are those of the speakers. Help support WEFT. And I didn't do my underwriting announcements. Thanks go out to our community partner, World Harvest Foods. They're at the corner of 6th and University. Have imports from all over the world. Have a dining area. They cater parties and special events. How about a Thanksgiving import meal? I don't know. It's time for me to go. Thanks for listening. And again, Project Censored, KPFA Archives for more of all of that. And maybe Dave will tell you about his five-hour show that went out on UPTV, collected out of a series that's not entirely available. So minute after 11 o'clock, thanks for listening. Ricky Baldwin's in the house, and another guy who's great on the picket lines from SEIU. Let's hear it, SEIU.
Yeah. We'll be right back. Welcome, folks, to another edition of the World Labor Hour, brought to you on the air by listener-supported community radio station WFT in Champaign, Illinois, broadcasting at 90.1 FM and webcasting live worldwide at WFT.org. Views and opinions expressed here are those of speakers and do not necessarily represent those of the station manager, board of directors, or of Prairie Air Incorporated. Now here's Bob with some underwriting announcements.
This hour of programming is brought to you in part by Central Illinois Jobs with Justice, a coalition of union and community groups working for economic justice and workers' rights. Central Illinois Jobs with Justice holds regular meetings on the third Saturday of every month. For more information or for the unemployed and underemployed helpline, call 217-328-2295. And the Illinois World Labor Hour is supported in part by the listeners of WEFT and by the AFL-CIO of Champaign County. The AFL-CIO represents the interests of more than 7,000 workers in Champaign County and more than 13 million workers nationwide. Recognizing that strong workers build strong communities, the AFL-CIO is proud to support community radio in East Central Illinois. And the Graduate Employees Organization Union, GEO, at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, strives to not only democratically represent graduate employees, but also to give solidarity and support to other unions, organizations, and workers engaged in the struggle for social justice both on and off campus. The GEO is proud to support the World Labor Hour on WEFT Community Radio.
Okay, thank you, Bob. And we're going to be having an interesting show today. We have some special guests in the studio, Ricky Baldwin and Tom Haley from Service Employees International Union, talking about this campaign that's been going to start kicking off here. It's been going on, but it's going to have a big nationwide kind of kickoff here the first week in December called the Fight for 15, basically a $15 an hour minimum wage for people in the fast food industry and others, I'm sure, of course. But the focus is going to be on fast food, because there's so many fast food service, low-paid service workers out there that desperately need to be organized into a union. Got a quick public service announcement here. There's a Central Illinois Tornado Relief fundraiser, and it's looks like November 23rd today, and it says, come on over to donate to our fellow surrounding towns this time of need. We're all aware of heartache and devastation these times put on individuals, families, and communities. These don't just last for the short term, but for years to come. With community help, we can assist in a fast recovery. Come in today to donate any amount you receive, a 10-minute chair massage in return. Okay, if you don't care for a massage, you can come in and just donate. No recommended donation. Okay, and it looks like we have here, this will be at from 9 to 1:30, Clark Street Square Building, the old Robeson Building, 206 North Randolph Street, number 518B in Champaign, and that's from 9 to 1:30 p.m. today at the Robeson Building's room 518B. Okay, well, going to have another interesting thing about the program today is that we're going to be having a guest call in here shortly from the Jobs with Justice in Chicago that's been working on the Black Friday protests that are scheduled to happen all over the country. And she's going to give us an update on it and just let everyone know Champaign-Urbana is going to have its own Black Friday protest the Friday after Thanksgiving at the Urbana Walmart at the intersection of High Cross Road and Route 150. The actual address is 100 South High Cross Road. And that's going to be from 10 a.m. to noon. So please try to turn out and support, fair pay for Walmart workers as well as their right to unionize. And it's interesting, I guess Walmart tried to file a unfair labor practice charge against the United Food and Commercial Workers. What's interesting, these workers aren't part of a union. I mean, you know, they're kind of a little bit of a, this is an interesting loophole that unions have finally found to use. But at the same time, I guess the National Labor Relations Board did rule against Walmart on a separate one in which they retaliated against their employees for past unionization activities to try to organize.
But all they have to do is hire them back and pay back wages, as the Labor Department has no power to find them in any way at all.
Yeah.
So they aren't losing really anything.
Yeah, that's the sad state of affairs with the National Labor Relations Board and our current labor laws.
And what's going to happen to those people later on, maybe, too? You know, maybe a year, maybe this stuff dies down.
Let's hope not. But anyway, I tell you what, so we're going to just kind of jump into this today. It's going to be kind of a back and forth because we also might have a caller calling at 11:30 from Chicago in addition to Ada Fuentes in Chicago. So anyway, let's start talking about the Fight for 15 here with our guests in the studio, Ricky and Tom. So let's just, I guess we can start maybe with a little background on this, if you want.
Sure. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, about a year ago, actually, we just the campaign just celebrated its 1 year anniversary. It started a year ago in New York with fast food workers walking off the jobs, and it's spread in the past year to over 60 cities, including, you know, like Milwaukee, Oakland, St. Louis, Kansas City, Peoria, you know, multiple other cities involved. And it's just, it's growing fast. People are really excited about it, and they realize that the next step in, you know, progressing the economy and, you know, the low wages and stuff is to get these low-wage workers from the fast food industry on board.
Okay.
Sure, yeah, you know, most folks don't realize these folks, actually, even if you work year-round 40 hours a week, which most of them don't, at minimum wage, which is what most of them make, you're still below the poverty line if you got kids. And so essentially these folks are eligible for public assistance. You know, it's a taxpayer subsidy, really, to these fast food giants that are making huge profits, but they're still living off the public dole. You know, the corporation is benefiting from paying these low wages, and the public is picking up the rest of it.
excuse me, folks.
Yeah.
I get warmed up here. Yes, you are right. We are. That is a largely unknown subsidy to Walmart, you know, right there, you know, beyond whatever they're getting for putting their stores in. And I also believe I saw yesterday that they're making a crack, starting to make a crack into the Union urban markets with two stores going into Washington, D.C.
Oh, the Walmart? Yeah, I think I heard that, actually. Yeah. I mean, I think these campaigns are really closely, they're very similar, the Walmart thing and the fast food thing, because you got, both of them are huge, very profitable sort of industries, the Walmart and the fast food chains, and they're both paying sub-poverty wages to folks and really, really hammering them anytime they start trying to form a union.
And, you know, that just goes right back into the communities, because then those people don't have money to put into their communities, and then they have to be forced onto government assistance, which, you know, the taxpayers pay for.
Well, I mean, and also, too, especially when you look at local levels of taxation, number one, sales tax. Look how much local communities depend on sales tax.
That's right.
And then you also have property tax. I mean, people who are just working at Walmart, they're in no shape to go out and buy any kind of house or
right. Well, and you know, they may not, you know, if you're poor enough, we say in this country, you don't have to pay income tax, but you're still paying sales tax.
Sure.
So, you know, you're paying a lot more sales tax than somebody who's, you know, really well off. So you're getting hammered sort of from both ends, really, because you're paying for the tax and the tax is being used to subsidize low-wage workers. I mean, you know, plus these stores, like Bill was relating it to Walmart, you know, they often get tax breaks, you know, from the local community. A lot of these fast food stores do too, or they build a driveway for them or something like that. So they're helping them out, and then they're helping the, they have to help the workers because they don't pay enough money. So, you know, it's not like a free enterprise kind of thing.
No.
At all. It's, you know, that's what they like to talk about, but really it's a public subsidy.
We talked about states offering incentives last week a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
Washington State just gave Boeing $8.7 billion.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
because they were threatening to move out of state.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
right,
an awful lot of subsidies going to a huge corporation like that, you know.
Yeah, right. Well, and then you got the thing, you know, in Decatur, we got another example of that. Those folks at ADM threatening to leave, and they're going to give them a subsidy. The Chicago Mercantile Exchange threatens to leave unless they give them money. You know, they got to give all these folks money. But, you know, and the idea is you give them that money. That's what they tell us, is you give them that money and they're going to keep jobs in the state, right?
And
but,
ADM,
but they're low-income jobs.
But isn't ADM like a multiple felon, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Right.
You know, that's like I was at a FedEx working on a concrete crew out there, and this younger African American guy walks up, and it's about the end of the day, and he goes, "Hey, is your company felony friendly?"
Felony friendly.
And I said,
"Only at the top, right?"
Yeah, good one. Yeah.
But he goes, "FedEx isn't." And I said, "Well, I'll tell you what, man. The only way you can get into this through the finishers or the laborers, and we're definitely felony friendly."
I was going to say, years ago, Labor 703, wasn't in order to be a union steward, you had to actually complete part of your apprenticeship as an inmate at Joliet? Well, I'll tell you what, I joke about it, but I'm telling you what, I mean, you know, your local used to be. It was something to be feared. I mean, there's some. We could do a whole program on some of the things that happened in this town in the last, you know, going back, you know, 30 years or so, 20, 30 years. But anyway, we kind of transgressed here a little bit.
That's a good point. I mean, you know, it goes that, you know, that saying, if you steal $100, you go to jail. If you steal $100 million, you know, you get a better job or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, and right along with that, if you have $100, it's really hard to turn it into $110.
Yeah.
But if you got $100 million, it's real easy to turn it into $110 million.
Sure, oh, yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
But I'm just kind of curious, this whole fight for the 15, it's mainly been focused in the larger cities at this point, hasn't it? And Tom, maybe you could talk a little bit about what you've been doing up in Chicago. Hold on, hold that thought. We got I think our caller's calling in, so. Hello, WFT, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Ada Fuentes from Chicago Jobs of Justice.
Hi, Ada. Welcome to the World Labor Hour. Okay, so can you just tell the listeners a little about yourself?
Sure. So my name is Ada Fuentes, and I'm a community organizer in Chicago on the Walmart campaign.
Okay, and so you basically, I asked you to call in today because, of course, coming up here next week on the day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday, there's going to be protests in support of Walmart workers all over the country. Can you kind of give us a little detail what's going to be happening here in Illinois?
Sure. So as folks are aware, Black Friday is a huge day of mobilization for Walmart workers. Across the country, there's over 15,000 actions so far happening. Well, I believe 1,500 actions so far. In Illinois, we'll be having about 11 actions, and there'll be two in Chicago. And so we're going to be meeting up for Walmart workers. You know, just like last year, Walmart workers are coming out strong and telling Walmart that they need living wages and that they're sick and tired of retaliation in the workplace.
Yes, and I guess there was just a recent ruling by the National Labor Relations Board against Walmart for the retaliation against workers. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. And so the National Labor Rights Board actually decided that Walmart retaliating against its workers is illegal, and so it's asking Walmart to reinstate all the workers that it fired for going on a caravan to Bentonville, Arkansas at the shareholder meeting, telling the Walmart shareholders that, you know, they're sick and tired and that Walmart is mistreating them on the workplace.
Okay. Now, can you just give a little background to some listeners? You know, there might be some listeners out there that, you know, have probably heard some bad things about Walmart, but, you know, they just can't help but shop there because the prices are so low. What's your message to some people that, you know, might be concerned about, you know, the conditions of workers, but, you know, maybe still might be an occasional, if not a steady, Walmart shopper?
Yeah, and so I think our message to those shoppers is that, you know, we understand that Walmart prices are low, but we are asking those shoppers that, you know, the prices are low, but they're low because Walmart is undercutting its workers as well as, you know, all over the supply chain. You know, the materials and everything that they sell in their store are from across and overseas, and they're exploiting workers there. I mean, just in Bangladesh, there was about 1,800 workers that have died because of working conditions being so awful and deplorable in different countries. And so we're asking Walmart shoppers to take that into account, but also, like, we're not going to blame a shopper for shopping at Walmart because the prices are low. What we are asking folks to do is to go and talk to workers and ask them, you know, how is your job and how do you feel about working here? I mean, oftentimes when we talk to workers, you know, they say the same thing. They don't really say really happily that they work for Walmart. You know, they say the hours are short, their pay is really low, that management mistreats them, and so we're just asking shoppers to, you know, talk to workers and make sure that when you're in the store that you're telling them that there is an organization fighting for them and fighting with them to better the conditions inside of stores. And so there is an organization called Our Walmart, which is Organization United for Respect at Walmart, which is composed of Walmart associates, and the decisions are made by associates. And so we're asking folks just to go out and educate, you know, the general public as well as employees of Walmart that, you know, folks are out there rooting for them to organize as well as you know, just tell Walmart that they need to raise their working conditions. We're not going to blame shoppers for shopping there, but, you know, it is great to have community members go inside and tell workers that, you know, they care about them, because these are folks that are in your community as well.
Okay. Now, we're having a Walmart protest here in Champaign-Urbana at the Urbana Walmart store. And you mentioned there was going to be a couple in Chicago. Where will those be in Chicago, the locations? Which Walmart stores?
And so we have two locations in Chicago. We're trying to keep it under wraps, of course, so that Walmart does not find out. But we are supposed to meet us at the Workers United building, which is at 333 South Ashland Avenue. And that we're meeting there at 6 a.m. We're getting on buses. But we are going to the west side of Chicago, to one of the Walmarts that's on the west side. And then we're going to be heading up to the north side. And across Illinois, there's going to be actions in cities like Darien and Aurora. And so we're hoping folks will get involved, and they can look up all the information on BlackFridayProtest.org. That's BlackFridayProtest.org.
Okay, very good. Well, Otta, thank you for calling in, and wish you the best of luck, for all of us the best of luck for trying to, you know, get as many people out on Thanksgiving and also on the actual Black Friday, because I know they're on both days, depending on the location. You know, it's like, I guess, you know, how many last year were there as far as number of protests?
I think last year there was probably about 1,000 actions or so, and so things are moving up. I mean, there's even actions in Nebraska this year as well.
Okay.
So, you know, the movement is expanding.
Well, if it's in Utah, then there's hope for definitely nationwide unionization of Walmart. So,
that's right.
Thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you so much, David. Have
okay.
a good night.
Take care. Goodbye.
As Joe Hill wrote to Big Bill Haywood, please get me out of here as soon as I'm executed, because I don't want to be caught dead in Utah.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, we're going to take a quick music break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to the World Labor Hour on WFT Radio, Champaign, Illinois.
Vietnam vet with a cardboard sign, sitting there by the left turn line, a flag on his wheelchair flapping in the breeze, one leg missing and both hands free. No one's paying much mind to him, the VA budget's just stretched so thin, and there's more coming back from the Mideast war. We can't make it here anymore. That big old building was a textile mill. It fed our kids and it paid our bills, but they turned us out and they closed the doors. We can't make it here anymore. You see those pallets piled up on the loading dock? They're just gonna sit there till they rot, 'cause there's nothing to ship, nothing to pack, just busted concrete and rusted tracks. Empty storefronts around the square, there's a needle in the gutter and glass everywhere. You don't come down here unless you're looking to score. We can't make it here anymore. Still open, but man, it's slow. The tip jar's light and the register's low. The bartender don't have much to say. The regular crowd gets thinner each day. Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here.
Like,
Walmart.
Okay, that was, yes, James McMurtry. Can't make it here anymore. Yes, yeah, Mr. CEO, take a part-time job in one of your stores and see how far minimum wage will go. I just had to play that song because I thought it was very appropriate for the topic at hand today. So, anyway, right before Otto Fuentes called in from Chicago, Tom Haley was getting ready to talk about what he's been doing up in Chicago a little bit for the Fight for 15. Tom?
Well, you know, we've been lending support to the groups in the community that are really putting this together and, you know, helping back the fast food workers whenever they do an action. It's, you know, just been building the campaign and the support and stuff up to right where we're at right now, and we're looking to go in 200 plus cities this time around.
Oh, wow.
And it's December 5th is going to be an overall day of action. It's communities and community groups standing up saying we're done with fast food workers being treated like, you know, with poverty wages in our communities, because it affects everybody here. Whether you work in the building at McDonald's or not, it affects every single one of us.
That's a great point. Very good point. Okay, and so can you talk a little bit more about the community aspect of this?
Here in Champaign, we're getting together with Jobs with Justice.
Sure, this is Jobs with Justice, the CU Citizens for Peace and Justice, I think we get involved in it. You know, and other groups who, you know, just recognize, well, may have some of their members who work in fast food. I know we do in SEIU because some of our dining services folks who work at the university get laid off four times a year, and they wind up looking for work in town, and they work in fast food restaurants for minimum wage. And, you know, a lot of students in town are doing it, so students are very interested in this kind of campaign.
Are they really? Because, you know, I tell you, what I've seen in past with some organizing in low-wage service sectors, like in particular Starbucks and an attempt at trying to do some organizing at Jimmy John's, is that it seemed like larger cities, as opposed to college towns, about like this, had a little bit better success. I mean, it seemed, because as we know, in college town, you have, especially the sort of the rest, you know, the fast food restaurants on or near campus comprise a lot of, you know, student workers who are, you know, they're transient in the sense that they're here for a few years going to school. They may or may not need the job to get by. It may just be spending money. I mean, as opposed to, let's say, an average working class person that's all they've got, I mean, yeah, to make right. money. So, well, I mean, is there going to be some kind of different focus? But I mean, I thought there might be, but you're saying there's actually been seeing some feedback on this, positive feedback.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't trying to compare them, but, you know, in this town, you'll see, you know, young people, and they may not be the folks that you're talking about who are from out of town passing through, you know, for a couple of years or something. I don't really know that, but, you know, talking to folks in these fast food restaurants, and, you know, there's definitely young people, maybe they're from the community here.
And working on campus, okay.
Then, you know, this may be one of the few incomes in the house. I know when I worked at McDonald's, you know, one of the biggest benefits to me was that they let us take home the leftover food. Wow. That was all my family had for the supper.
They don't do that, you know, anymore.
They stopped that because, you know, that was too wonderful. But, you know, have a happy meal for your supper.
The perks of the
job.
Yeah.
But, you know, increasingly you do see, even in town here, if you look, a lot of the folks that are behind the counter are my age or your age.
I've seen that phenomenon more and more in years.
Maybe they lost another job that they had, either in the recession or before that. And, you know, maybe they're working their way through college, so it's important to them. Maybe they, like I said, lost another job, or, you know, you never know. Maybe they retired and they can't make it on their retirement, and so they got to go back to work. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons.
I've noticed, you know, I remember in the 60s and 70s, when I was a kid and a teenager. I mean, almost in the fast, of course, we didn't have as many fast food restaurants as we do now, but those were almost entirely high school students, you know, or, you know, college students, you know. So that's definitely changed. I mean, I agree. Every time I go to a fast food restaurant, it's like the employees are older and older, you know.
It's a huge change. I walked into one the other day. I won't mention the name
right
now, but I handed the guy behind the counter a leaflet. He's like, "Oh, okay, great." And he's like, "I like this." He said, "I don't know about my boss.
Your boss isn't going to like it."
Okay.
But that's absolutely right. It's a growing number of these workers in these low-wage jobs are, you know, 25 and up. Mm-hmm. You know, they have kids to feed.
Some of them have degrees, right?
And a lot of them have degrees, yeah. You know, and it's just the job market's so tough right now. Mm-hmm. All they can find are these quote-unquote low-wage jobs, but there's no reason they should be low-wage jobs.
I got a number for you. Over 25% of fast food workers have been to college.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're all starting to realize that we can get better than this if we stand up for it. And that's, you know, what we're here for.
Okay.
You know, I'm just kind of, you know, thinking about the larger thing beyond labor issues when it comes to, say, fast food or Walmart. And one of the things that I don't like about unions and the American labor movement, even though I do understand some of the problems you can have with your membership,
mm-hmm.
on getting behind things outside of the workplace,
mm-hmm.
you know, getting away from the Gompers call it pure and simple unionism,
mm-hmm.
and you know, the recent AFL-CIO convention, they were at least making noises,
mm-hmm.
like doing things like that. And I was just reminded of something this morning, the Mohawk Valley strategy, which was an anti-union strategy used back, I believe, in the 20s. And it was a lot of what we were talking about with, say, Ray Rogers in a corporate campaign, except it was what was used against the unions. And that's where they went out and they got the allegiance of all the community organizations, the churches, and so on. And but when you look at the impact of fast food and things like Walmart on the global environment and our use of fuel and everything else, it's just completely ridiculous. See, I was really hoping that when fuel went up a lot in recent years,
mm-hmm.
that would start shutting off the world global trade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and but it apparently hasn't.
Yeah.
But that's something else we got to look at. You know, I mean, this destroying the planet as well as destroying all of these people's individual lives,
mm-hmm.
here and especially abroad, where there's 1,800 people killed, you know, so on and so forth, plus, you know, the yep. awful day-to-day conditions they have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, we've definitely seen a dramatic downward slide in our standard of living in this country over the last 30 years. And, you know, it's just, that's why I'm so glad to see these.
In a lot of ways, our health. And a lot of it's just food.
Indeed.
You know, both mm-hmm. the groceries from Walmart and the fast food.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
hello, WFT, you're on the air.
Hi, Dave.
Yes.
Earl Stilbar up here in Chicago.
Hi, Earl. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. We got a couple guests here in the studio, both from SEIU, and they've been working on this, you know, Fight for 15 campaign. And one of them mm-hmm. is from here, but he's, I guess, up in Chicago helping out, going around, you know, trying to organize fast food workers.
Uh-huh.
So that's what we've been talking about. So I wanted you to call in since you're a longtime resident, I think lifelong resident of Chicago, and I've known you for a few years. And just like you to kind of share with the listeners what people have been doing in Chicago as far as just various type of campaigns.
Okay, is now a good time?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so, well, I was going to bring up three things that I've been involved in. One of them, of course, is the Living Wage Campaign.
The Living Wage Campaign, okay.
There, and the other two are what's going on with Syria, because there's a big debate in the anti-war and anti-intervention movement.
Mm-hmm.
And I was involved in a debate on that. And the other was the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Oh, yes. The big storm that's heading our way here.
That's a good way to put it, Dave.
Okay. All right. So whatever you want to talk about first.
Well, I thought I'd start with living wages.
Okay.
There was a good meeting to initiate a living wage campaign and to increase the boycott. Well, not really a boycott, but picketing Walmart in solidarity with the workers who are going on strike.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a good meeting. It was sponsored by Northern Illinois Jobs with Justice. And we had two part-time workers there, one Walmart worker and one who was the woman who was working with the Chicago Workers Collaborative. She's worked in about 100 different factories, so that was really well received.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good debate. And it turns out that there's going to be an introduction of a campaign possibly in Aurora, which is actually a large city with a significant working class and a lot of immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like something's going to get started there, and I wanted to just let your listeners know.
Okay.
In case any of them might happen, especially from being around the northern part of Illinois and might want to get involved.
Okay.
Oh, hi, my name's Bill.
Hi, Bill.
And
I'm Earl.
How you doing, Earl? I don't
Good.
Know. We may have met. It's hard to tell. I can't remember. But your name's familiar. I probably read your work.
What's your last name, Bill?
Gorel.
Bill's one of the one of the original founders of the World Labor Hour with Peter Miller back in the mid-90s.
Terrific.
Okay.
But anyway, Aurora, it had significant auto industry, hasn't it? Or
yep.
So it's kind of a good union town in that way. Is there still a lot of industry there, a lot of union work?
Well,
or?
You know, I really don't know because I moved out to Elgin 4 years ago, and it's quite a way down the river, and I'm really not that knowledgeable. And it was my first time out in Aurora, but I'm active with Jobs with Justice, but especially with we have a Peace and Justice group here, so I wanted to go down and find out what's going on so that hopefully we can spread it and develop that kind of campaign in the Fox River Valley and different towns.
Now, what kind of living wage campaign is this? I mean, is it focused on like a city ordinance? And is it, if so, is it focused like just on the public sector, or is it would it be public and private sector?
It depends how it goes.
Okay.
This was an initial organizing meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And while the focus was on Walmart, there was a lot of discussion about this, and it turns out, I mean, I really haven't been involved since the fight in Chicago over the big box
mm-hmm.
living wage. So the living wage campaign, if it was that way, we had someone who administers it up in Madison as one of the speakers. The living wage would only cover people who work for companies that have contracts with the city or whatever the
mm-hmm.
the jurisdiction would be, whereas a minimum wage would cover everybody in that area.
Okay. Sounds like both are needed for sure, but of course it's like you got to focus your resources on the most needed or vulnerable.
Yeah, and it gets really complicated, although it seems simple. The $15 an hour wasn't really raised as a campaign because it would be a question of, well, is it going to be $15 an hour for the living wage? Like in Madison right now, it's like $12.50 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But it only covers those workers who are of a company large enough and has a contract with the city.
Right.
Well, what about everybody else?
Yes.
So that still has to be hashed out. I spoke with Tim Bell, who's a director of organizing for the Workers Collaborative, which really deals with people who work out of day labor.
Mm-hmm.
So if you work out of day labor and you go to, let's say you work in the factories in Elk Grove Village where there's dozens and dozens of them, well, if it doesn't help you to be a resident of a town that's got a living wage campaign if it doesn't cover you at your workplace.
Indeed.
So I would say we're in the initial stages.
Okay.
How about with your work, Bill?
I'm a laborer.
Uh-huh.
And
you're in the laborers union?
Yeah, that's correct. I'm in laborers.
I used to be in there myself.
Oh, yeah? So
back in the day when I worked in the factories. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just really amazing. We were just talking earlier. There's a you're familiar with Kohl's department stores?
Sure.
Okay, they were building one in Danville, and I was on it this year, or it was the last year. And here's one of the changes. That would have taken months to build the exterior walls the old way.
Yeah.
Now they use precast walls. They bring them in on trucks. We did it in 6 days.
Yeah, the slabs. They put them up in 6 days?
Right. We did the exterior walls of that. Just think how
sure.
long that would have been with a block and
sure.
how many people it would have taken.
Yeah.
Sure.
So almost every industry is getting hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Earl, you were a Chicago Community College teacher for quite a few years, weren't you?
27 years, yeah.
Okay. Now, there was some, I think it's an interesting story if you want to talk about a little bit about yourself. There was an action that happened up there about 6 years ago or so, and you were kind of in the thick of things. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because, some of this is relevant. Now, we're kind of going into the public sector here, but it seems like Bill said, it's, everywhere where people are getting affected.
Well, I'm not sure which you're referring to. There was a strike of the credit teachers.
Mm-hmm.
That was like 2002. That's like 10 years ago.
Oh, wow. Time flies. I think that's what I'm talking about, yes.
And we weren't directly involved because they're unbelievable. There's three different unions for the teachers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. One is for the credit teachers who are full-time.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is for the part-time credit teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were in an AFSCME local, which we created, 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness. And we taught adult education, so we had ESL, English for Immigrants, and GED and literacy campaigns. So,
mm-hmm.
so they were going on strike, and I got involved because I was a union steward, and I believe in solidarity in the whole class, not just for ourselves. And so I was encouraging our fellow teachers to take off work in solidarity with them and come out to their picket lines. And so I got... I got in trouble for it, basically, but my friends rallied around, and we backed them off, and I was Fine. And we got about 20 people to come out and take a few days off of work.
Okay. Yeah, I think that was good. I think it was important to share because, you know, the way they got the labor laws set up here in this country and it could have been so effective if all the different teachers' unions and any union member in that, community college system could have all went out and shown solidarity with one particular union. The results would have been fast, you know. And effective, you know, but they've divided us along these contractual lines, along certain legal lines, and when somebody does try to go around that, they get sanctioned sometimes by their own union, which has happened in your case.
It's true. There was really something that was quite, maybe, I don't know if it's unusual, I don't know enough about all the struggles going on, but we had a teachers and workers and students committee in solidarity with the strikers.
Mm-hmm.
And since it wasn't done officially through the unions, although I was working through our union as a steward and encouraging people and going on their picket line, the committee of solidarity committee of people who were in the education field out there in the city colleges, we did have rallies with the teachers at the city college meetings, and in fact it broke out into a fist fight when the guards tried and shoved us all out.
Oh, wow.
And the students were a key force in standing off the guards and enforcing our way into the meeting, and then threatening to have a picket line and a sit-in at the corporate CEO guy who was the head of the city colleges. They don't mess around. They come in directly now.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the teachers were able to back off the administration and make some gains out of it. But it turned out it came out through the Solidarity Committee's work and the activism of the people, and especially the support of the students and some of the other teachers. So that was interesting. Of course, what you say about the laws, of course, is totally true. And they were going to fire me just for advocating that our fellow teachers join them.
Mm-hmm.
So the other way actually turned out to have great results.
Well, good. I'm glad you shared that because I think that's real important because that's the only way we're going to get results here is when people start standing with each other, you know, because we're all in the same boat, you know, in the big picture, but, you know, even on the same job site sometimes, you know, they try to prevent us from, you know.
Well, I know. I remember when we were working together with the Staley workers 20 years ago now, and people were scabbing on them from other unions.
Yes.
And going into work even though they were locked out and had picket lines up.
Yeah, very shameful story there. Yes,
it
indeed.
Was. And at the same time, the solidarity committees, which included people, I think you were involved, and certainly Gene Vanderport and other people down there were involved.
Mm-hmm.
And there were thousands, if not tens of thousands, of basically workers and some students who formed solidarity committees and raised money for them and came to the rallies and backed them up and gave them places to stay and set up meetings for them. So again, it was a question of solidarity across the class from people who could relate, and that did make a difference. So, but the official union setup is pretty, I don't know what to say. I mean, I've been a union guy all my life, but there's great limitations and there's a lot of, there's a lot of
potential, nothing else.
The higher up we went in our union and AFSCME, the closer they were to management, the less they wanted to do for us. And just to make a long story short, we had a 3-year organizing drive to try and get a living wage and benefits. And we went all the way. We had our members voted over 70% to strike.
Mm-hmm.
We were ready to strike. We were 5 days away from strike. And then the state AFSCME 31 council people came in and said, despite the fact that you're legally approved to strike, if you strike, we're going to allow management to fire anybody they want. We won't pick up you, and we'll declare it a wildcat, even though it wasn't a wildcat.
Oh, man.
So it gets pretty tough, and if you're not ready to fight a two-sided fight, it's pretty hard to fight with your hands behind your back.
Yeah, I think that really goes to the heart of the situation we've got in this country, we as working people have to stand together, you know, regardless of what the powers that be, whether they're powers in the Democratic Party or Republican Party, whether there's sometimes, unfortunately, union officials that are, you know.
I can't hear you. Is it my phone?
It might be your phone. Can you hear me now?
Let me go get another phone.
No.
1 second.
Okay. Well, anyway, yes, and so as we're talking here to... Yes, can you hear me?
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Okay, yes, okay. If you want to, then we got a few more minutes here. Could you just briefly talk about what you've been doing, of course, with the whole issue of Syria?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. I wasn't paying a lot of attention. I mean, I was following the news, but I wasn't involved. And then there were demonstrations after Obama threatened to start bombing attacks.
Mm-hmm.
and I saw a member of our Peace and Justice group, Fox Valley Citizens for Peace and Justice, went to a demonstration in Chicago and came back, and she's really our leader and our organizer. She came back, she was disturbed to be at the demonstration in August in Chicago and to see people with Assad's picture and Syrian national flags
mm-hmm.
and a speaker for Assad, and it was like, how can that be?
Yeah.
So it turns out that there maybe a lot of your people who are listening know this, but I didn't realize it at the time. There's a big fight going on now. It's like, well, how should the anti-war and the anti-intervention and the anti-imperialist and the socialist union solidarity people, how should they respond to this?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. Very good question. I've asked myself, too.
So I did some research, and I found out that, well, part of the media story is true. The demonstrations that took place were all peaceful, nonviolent demonstrations against corruption, because there's a lot of what's called crony capitalism. They were privatizing a lot of state enterprises, giving it to the insiders.
Mm-hmm.
There was inflation, high unemployment. Farmers had their faced a three-year drought. So there was a growing poverty and repression, and things were. So these demonstrations took place, and of course the Assad regime started shooting on them. It turns out the Assad regime was responsible for the beginning of the violence and the self-defense after 6-8 months. Soldiers started deserting and refusing to fire on crowds. But some people are in the anti-war movement, the socialists and labor solidarity movements are supporting Assad.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like shocking. So anyway, I did some research in it and learned this stuff about what were the real causes of the demonstrations. And hold on, I got to catch my breath here. I don't know why I'm I guess it's trying to pack too much in, Dave.
Yeah.
So there was a debate in Wisconsin, and we had a long discussion, two long discussions in our Peace and Justice group, and we decided that really there's three different options. One is the anti-intervention, hands-off, no U.S. attacks. Another one is support Assad, because the other side, it just consists of religious fundamentalists who are killers and cutthroats and so on and so forth. And the other one is to find the social movements and the political movements in Syria who are still fighting for their original goals. They wanted to be treated with dignity. They wanted political freedom. They wanted an end to poverty. And it was non-sectarian. It was not based on one religious against another. In fact, their first chants were 1-1-1, meaning Syria is one, all the religious, not a religious or sectarian fight, and these people are still fighting.
Mm-hmm.
So then our group decided that we would stand in solidarity with them. And so it turns out that some other people in New York and around the country have formed a solidarity network called Middle East North Africa, or MENA. They've got a Facebook page. If anybody's interested, just go to Facebook and look up MENA. You should find them.
Okay.
And there's a page that's put out by some Syrians called Syria Freedom Forever. And they have some great videos and interviews and stuff that they have in English, French, and Arabic, if anybody speaks the other languages, but they have a lot of it in English. And I'm happy to be connected with like-minded people who do see this, the revolutions taking place as part of a long revolutionary wave, because just like you said before, the big corporations who are working on dividing us up and beating us down and like forming workplaces which reuse fewer and fewer workers, but the owners keep all the money and we get screwed, and they're doing this with Trans-Pacific Partnership where we're cooking up the steel. So if we don't just stand together in this country, but also with our brothers and sisters, we're going to be slaughtered.
Indeed. And that
we're being slaughtered. So there's to see this spirit of solidarity extended and to be in touch with some of the fabulous people who they had a teach-in in New York City, this MENA group did, and most of the speakers were Syrian and Middle Eastern, and it was in English. I saw one of these speeches on YouTube that if you go to MENA, you'll find the URL. It was great, Dave. You should listen to this woman. She was fabulous.
Well, Earl, listen, we've run out of time, so I really appreciate you calling in today. And as far as the Trans-Pacific Partnership, as I'd say probably right after the first of the year, we're going to know more about what's coming, and I'd maybe like to have you call in again and talk about that in some depth.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Okay, Earl. Well, thanks so much for calling in, and
thank you.
We'll talk to you sometime soon.
Okay, bro. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
no more. It's drastic time for sure. We need an antidote and a cure. Cause do you really think Muhammad got a problem with Jehovah? We don't want war. Imagine if every prophet was alive. And current days amongst you and I. You think they would view life like you and I do? Or would they sit and contemplate on why do we live this way? Act and behave this way. We still living primitive today. Cause a piece of the destination in war can't be the way. There's no way. So people just be a woman, be a man. Realize that you can change the world by changing yourself. And understand that we all just the same. So when I count to three, let's change.
Okay, that was the Black Eyed Peas, the song Union, and we're back now with Ricky Baldwin and Tom Haley. Okay, anyway, I just want to let you know that this is the World Labor Hour, broadcasting and listener-supported community radio station WFT in Champaign, Illinois. So, Tom, okay, let's see, where do we leave off? The fight for 15.
Yeah, and we'll just touch on the demonstration that we're going to be holding here in Champaign.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be December 5th, 5 o'clock. At the McDonald's on the corner of Neil and Kirby.
Oh, yeah, okay. Good location. And I've heard some horror stories about that place, by the way.
You hear the horror stories, you see...
That particular location.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the last time I've been in there, granted, it was a little while ago. You know, a lot of workers there were older folks. You know, not a lot of young kids in there. And it seems like it'd be a location that... really could, you know, stand to gain from this campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we got some fun stuff up our sleeves that we're not ready to release just yet that'll be told on the day of. But, you know, it's going to be a fun time. So I recommend everybody come out, get involved. You know, this is something that affects your community and it affects you personally because, you know, you're footing the bill for these people.
And, you know, Tom's not kidding, folks. I mean, I've been on some picket lines with Tom and Ricky. Bill, unlike the building trades where they send one or two of us out there just to stand like a statue, these guys really work it. I mean, it's like, I don't want to say entertainment, but it's fun.
Well, know? Dave, when they were building the Hilton down there and non-union, and we had our requisite, you know, two or three guys standing there, I remember Ricky and other people doing community marches with, I think I saw one day like at least a dozen people. I was on my lunch break from another job.
I mean, we actually had about 50 people.
Yes.
On
okay. I was there. We had
that was Jobs
50.
With Justice when we first started. That was the first thing we did with Jobs with Justice was went out to that hotel.
The Paris Hilton Hotel.
Yep.
Yeah. But, you know, it blows my mind with the building trades. It's like, okay, we had our three guys there when they're building the hotel, but then when the governor of Indiana was there speaking last spring.
The Mitch Daniels rally, that was a good one.
Yeah, on the day before Hitler's birthday.
Yeah.
And the anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing.
Yeah.
He spoke there, and who was it? The Plumbers and Pipefitters, BA or somebody, got a big hair up their butt. And, man, we had like, what, 3,000, 5,000 people
No, it was like 7,000 people.
A lot of people.
We shut down that whole area.
But they don't do that when our work... Yeah,
well, anyway,
it just blows my mind.
They did a good job that time. So, but I'm just saying, you know, you can guarantee. Tom tells you it's going to be a fun time. It's going to be a fun time. It's it's almost like going to a rowdy party in a way, you know. But nobody gets arrested. Just how far to push it?
No, yeah, exactly. You know, we know where to draw the line of having fun and crossing that line, which we are not going to do.
Yeah, okay.
But it's going to be a real interesting time. And if anybody has any questions, interest in getting involved, concerns about the campaign as a whole, call me on my cell phone. It's 217-714-3346, and I'll make sure to get you hooked up with all the information you could want. And
217-714-3346. Okay.
And that is when again?
It is December 5th at 5 o'clock.
Okay, what day of the week is that?
It's Thursday.
A Thursday, December 5th, 5 o'clock. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very cool.
Okay, Ricky, and yeah, you want to talk a little bit about
Well, Jobs I just wanted Justice? To say, you know, we've been talking about this event and mm-hmm. this campaign in Jobs with Justice quite a bit lately, leading mm-hmm. up to this. And so, you know, we're absolutely thrilled that we're going to do something here, that we've, you know, finally got something together. But it goes back to what Bill was saying. You know, I think he's right. Unions have to be involved with community groups. That's what Jobs with Justice is, mm-hmm. you know. So it's an opportunity for unions who want to be involved in this campaign. You know, it goes beyond the pure and simple unionism, because it's not actually your members, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. It's something that affects everybody. But this fast food industry, you know, is a huge thing, like Bill said, for all those reasons, and also the effect it has on everybody's health, and you know, there are all those movies where the guy ate nothing but fast food.
Oh,
and
yeah, supersized
yeah.
me.
Yeah, yeah.
Vomiting the first day of it, you know, and yeah. all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, he was a vegan. But, what'd you expect?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you know, yeah, the guy in Super High Me uh-huh. did a heck of a lot better health-wise than the guy in Super Size Me.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he got healthier. He was happier, too.
And which one of those is
it? Yeah. Yeah, okay. right. But, you know, we got to remember, like, you know, the saying goes, a rising tide lifts all boats. Mm-hmm. I mean, what I think the way we have to look at this, there's a couple of things. There's the environmental components. Those are all very important, and we have to get involved in those things. But we have to remember, when we're looking at those things and when we're looking at the fast food industry and these problems that, you know, we have that affect all these other issues, remember the folks that are working in that industry. Don't just shut the place down. You know, that's not the goal, right? Because mm-hmm. people get hurt when you do stuff like that. Mm-hmm. What we're looking at is all of those things together. They're all connected, mm-hmm. right? And the folks who work at the fast food, you know, the way it impacts them first and foremost is their wages. So this is what they want to focus on. We're there to support them,
yeah.
you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so much needed. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, yeah, and I think about it, and what I was thinking about when with the membership being more upset about things, usually on a local community level, that's not so much of a problem. But when you start getting into the national levels, and I'm starting to think about the international trade, environment, and other things. For example, the Laborers Union is really behind the Keystone XL pipeline, man, for about, you know, a few hundred laborers' jobs that will last for about a year or two at best.
Mm-hmm. Kill the environment.
And we're just as happy building wind farms. Yep. You know, if Terry O'Sullivan, the president of our union, would turn around and say, look, we don't want this, actually educate the membership. You know, see, that's what they need to do. Educate the membership. The people, I just can't believe. It's like, where are we going? You know, nobody, that's like a guy I was talking to about welfare. I said, he doesn't realize that people are limited to 5 years. Never heard of Bill Clinton, you know.
Yeah,
and all of that, and it's just that the people don't.
What I always say to that, Bill, is you know, you're worried about somebody, you know, true or not, possibly defrauding the government out of a, you know, $800 a month public assistance check, if even that. But yet, meantime, the billionaires are stealing us. You know, that's pennies on the dollar compared to what we're giving to these corporations and billionaires and subsidies and tax breaks.
Yeah. Well, Earl Silber, he was talking about this thing with Syria, and he had got into some really in-depth research on it.
Yes.
Well, most people don't have that inclination, or they don't have, you know, that ability. I mean, maybe not most people, a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm talking about. But then I'm on Facebook, and somebody in B-Mint that I know pops up with a link from some Glenn Beck's Black. Glenn Beck's,
you are right.
Glenn Beck's Blaze. Black. Yeah, Black. Say that three times fast. Glenn Beck's Blaze. But anyway, pops it up where in some town in Illinois, the FEMA people were met with people with guns. But they're not going to say which town it is because they're afraid they'll get audited. The town will get audited by the IRS. And I went and I Googled the news for everything, looked through every article that I could find, and I went back and put links in their comments to them. And these people, they're good people. The guy, he's a trucker. He owns his own truck, and his wife, you know, has worked. I think she manages a swimming pool, be met sometimes, things like that. They're good people, you know, but this stuff, It's, you know, and the Alex Jones stuff and everything. Now everything's the Illuminati.
Right, you know. Well, it's what they listen, you know, they hear Rush Limbaugh and all this crap on the radio, right? And so they, you know, they believe this stuff. And a lot of times you're right. Our unions are not giving them the other side of it, you know.